More than 100,000 Australians remain stranded across the Middle East after US and Israeli strikes on Iran over the weekend sparked widespread airspace closures. Transit passengers in Qatar have been moved into hotels indefinitely as military action escalates, leaving travellers uncertain about when they'll be able to continue their journeys. Martin Davis is one of the Australians stuck in Doha while en route to Europe. National Radio News' Noah Seckham spoke with Davis about the limited information they have been receiving as tensions continue to rise.
Talk me through what happened when you were at the airport and how did you find out about what was happening outside of the airport?
So we'd been sent back because we were on the flight towards Europe, and then the announcement came that we were going into Iranian airspace, but it'd been closed. So we turned around, we went back to Doha. Arriving in Doha, it was quite clear that we weren't the only plane in this situation. You got this sense that there were just lots and lots of people. You could see, because people had been on the flight with me from Sydney to wherever they were going, I was now seeing again in the airport. So they'd clearly been headed to their own destinations and now were coming back. In that regard, it began to feel a little bit chaotic. And one of the things is that there was no tannoy announcements. I think in Australia, you hear tannoy announcements everywhere, but you just didn't have any inside the airport in Doha. So there was it was kind of chaotic. We ended up going into lots of queues where you were told that you were queuing to get a voucher to go to a hotel, only for you get halfway down the line and then there are no more hotel rooms. So you had to then resign yourself to sleeping on a very hard floor in the airport overnight. Whilst that was going on, I was talking to one of the local staff at a coffee shop at midnight, and you could feel the building tremor a bit and you could hear these deep sonic booms. And he said, "That's not normal." So that was kind of disconcerting. And then you got this sense that actually suddenly the ground staff wanted us all to be reporting, handing in our passports so that we could be matched up for a hotel. And then there was this mass movement when we were like pushed out to the outside of the airport. And one reflection, one thought I had was, thank goodness they had the FIFA World Cup here just 3 or 4 years ago, because they seemed to have the infrastructure. There was volume of hotels. Suddenly a fleet of buses arrived and everyone could get onto these buses and be bused to these hotels. We got to the hotel and again, it was chaotic and there weren't enough rooms. And then suddenly it was announced that we had to go down into the basement. Everyone got these quite alarming alarms on our phones saying, get inside, go underground where you can. And so that's what we did. We're down in the basement. We sheltered there. And you're thinking, right, we might be in this rather warm basement. It felt a little bit claustrophobic initially on going in there. Fortunately, it was bigger than I first realized. And then this announcement that actually there were hotel rooms, and in fact it was a very plush hotel that we could go to. So we piled into taxis and came across to what is a 5-star hotel, and now I'm put up in this 5-star hotel and I haven't got a clue what's coming next.
Obviously during all this you're in quite a controlled environment of fellow tourists going from place to place. Have you been able to get a sense of what life is happening outside of the airport, if like the rest of Qatar, if is life going on as usual? Have you gotten a sense of that? Have you even seen it?
The first time that we left the airport, it was still just beginning to get light, and so you really couldn't sense whether that was the norm. I'd not been to this part of the world before outside of an airport. As daylight was breaking, you sense there weren't many people around. There wasn't a lot of traffic. But again, was that just a standard Sunday morning in Doha? And in that regard, I mean, I've got a former colleague who lives here and works here. And he said, yeah, it is unusual. People are asked to stay at home. We contemplated trying to meet up, but we've definitely shelved that because there are these messages coming, do not go out. And so I think the idea is that they've got us safely in hotels. I think the concern seems to be, and this is only hearsay and just from what has happened elsewhere, for example, in Dubai, with the airport in Dubai getting struck I think there was a concern that to get people out of the airport, should airports in this part of the world become the target? So having got us out of there, that was no longer then the problem of the airport. So we become the problem of the hotels. And then eventually it's a kind of a process that we get sifted through and we finally do have a hotel in which to stay.
And currently sitting in a hotel, it's certainly a much more stable and hospitable place than the rest of your experience so far. But what's the feeling of what happens next? What is on the horizon?
I mean, it makes you realize what a global world we live in. I mean, there's just people of every nationality, it seems, sort of in the breakfast bar this morning, everybody asking each other the same question. What have you heard from that perspective or whatever perspective? I'm sharing a room with a young Austrian bloke who I met and we've sort of befriended each other. And he's trying to contact Austria to find out what's going on. I'm in touch with both Australia and the UK to try and find what's going on. And nobody knows. I mean, that's the situation. There's nothing from what we can see that is happening at a political level in terms of any talks or anything that could lead towards any change. So we are just left in this hiatus, this sense of we just don't know and we just got to be patient and calm and hope. You've got to hope for the best. And that's as far as much as you can do.
Some of the criticisms that were leveled at the government today were actually saying that they didn't provide enough warning to Australian travellers that this was a possibility heading into for those travelling. Do you feel that there was a window of opportunity that you could have been informed? How's the communication been?
I would find it very hard to blame the Australian government, because I think that what I'm picking up on and around from what I'm reading is that nobody was informed by Trump and that he surprised everybody. And I think that there's a feeling, certainly in the conversations I'm having, that you can basically say, well, hold on, one man, in order to try and get a good line for his midterm elections, has decided to go and do this. And I think there's certainly a sense of people just exasperated by the behavior of Donald Trump. And this comes at a time when you've got the Canadian Prime Minister arriving in Australia, and it feels like there's a proper grown-up conversation and another way of living and another form of life that is that can be had and we used to have.
That was Martin Davis speaking to National Radio News' Noah Seckham.